Good evening, Mark.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Very well. I've gone through a little bit of trouble this evening. Who's that? You know who that is, don't you?
What sort of trouble are you in?
Well, no, I've gone to some trouble. This is Gary Numan and Cars. Do you remember the song?
Ah, yeah. I do. It's the only way to live in cars.
Good song. Is that what got
you? It's a great song.
It is a great song. Well, last week we spoke fulsomely about classic cars. Hey, you know, last week when we were talking about Jaguar, and it was and there was a Jaguar that you were speaking about, but the car I was trying to remember was a Jaguar XJS. I got it all wrong.
No, XJS. Yeah, that's the one before the XJR.
If you remember, that was the one that my friend got his nose caught in the aerial at the back of.
The aerial went when the aerial went up and his nose didn't move. Yeah,
because that was our neighbour's car, because we were going around the street offering to clean people's cars, but that was it. So what's the XJS like? Is that quite valuable as well?
Oh, absolutely. They've gone completely nuts as well. So the one where the nose issue occurred, was that a coupe or a convertible?
Coupe.
Right, okay. Yeah, they haven't gone up quite as much as the convertibles, but the convertibles have gone all the way up to 100K now for a convertible.
It's crazy. I was talking to somebody in the previous hour, a tech expert, who was talking about the crazy world of cryptocurrency.
And, well, that's all over.
Well, it's all over, yeah. The bloom is off the rose there, apparently.
It's finished now for about 2 or 3 years, and you know, it'll have its day again, but right for now it's finished, it's over.
Rich people kicking themselves that they didn't just buy 10 Jaguar XJSs.
Indeed. Well, that's what they're doing now. Everyone who's got out of property and crypto, they come to us now and investing things that actually go up and stay up. They don't go down again.
That's the problem, though. They're going to muscle out the small people like me who want to get in.
As you might have known from there's a magazine article floating around at the current moment. There's a lot of low end cars there that have seen some solid growth that have started with £2,000 in value or $2,000 in this country. There's a lot that you can get into at the bottom as well. Loads of stuff. Actually, there's loads of stuff that's got great growth in it that you can get for very little money at the moment.
Well, I love, you talk about the low end, I love the Triumph Dolomite Sprints.
Oh, absolutely. They were a car that was always destined to go somewhere, and they never have until just recently.
My mate's brother had one.
Was it a Sprint, though, Andy?
I don't know. I remember the inside. He might have had a Toledo. Do you remember the Toledo?
Yeah, the Toledo was very similar, body shape and all the rest of it. That was the sort of very basic version of a Dolomite. So the way it worked was you had a 1300cc Toledo, and then you had a 1500cc Toledo, then you had the Dolomite, which was 1800, then you had the 2 litre, then you had the Dolomite Sprint, which was the super quick one with the black vinyl roof and the wood grain dash, and that was the Dolomite Sprint.
There was walnut on it, or there was certainly wood on the interior.
Yeah, wood door cappings all the way around, yeah.
Maybe that was it, because we loved the Toledo because it sounded like something that Batman would have said in the TV series.
Well, that's
Holy
right.
Holy Toledo,
Holy
Robin.
Toledo, yeah.
It's a great name for a car. So base price of £2,000, up 50% in the last three months? Really?
Absolutely.
Whoa, gee, that's crazy.
If you pick the right cars, that's what they do. Like, we do it all the time. We just, you know, we do it day in, day out.
It must be hard to find a good quality Triumph Dolomite that's not riddled with rust and stuff.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem, finding the good ones.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can get onto a car, like you can pick, you know, a certain car that you know is going to go, and we're always doing that. But then, once you've picked it and you know that's going to take off, then you've got to find a good one, and that's not so easy because they're scarce.
Okay.
All of these cars are scarce.
If you want to be in touch with Mark Haybittle, we had fun last week, a few people getting in touch, especially farmers. We had a couple of farmers chatting to us, didn't we, about Japanese cars that their grandchildren had encouraged them to buy and finding out how much they're worth. But so you've got to get in touch with us. Text the details of the car to us, the colour, the model, the mileage, and just the general condition of it as well, please. 0438 92236. We're on digital. We're not on analog today because of the cricket. So I might as well just roll up a newspaper and shout out the window. But 0438 922 936 is the text number if you'd like us to evaluate your vehicle. Right. So that was the Triumph Dolomite Sprint.
Yeah. So the Sprint, as I was saying, was the really much more powerful one with the wood grain dash and wood door cappings and velour trim and all that stuff. And they also had special wheels too that were very like a Triumph Stag's wheels. And they also came only in bright yellow, blue, black, or white. And they're a great car. They were always testing for great things. But you know, that's what happens with these cars sometimes, Andy. They just sit around, and then suddenly, you know, some of our collector contacts, they get excited about one, and then they tell their friends, their other collector friends, and then they want one as well, and then someone else wants one, and then bang, that's how it happens.
I'd go for bright yellow if I could choose for a Triumph Dolomite. I think they look great in bright yellow.
Oh, they do. Well, I had a couple back in the day, and they were Daytona yellow, like literally bright yellow with a black vinyl roof. They look great. Mm. And you could get them with sunroofs as well. So they were pretty good package, really, for the sort of mid-70s, you know, like a bit of a good thing.
Now, the Volkswagen Golf, which has been eulogised over for most of my adult life, really. I remember people love the Volkswagen Golf. Do you remember the commercials in the UK that they used to have for them? There'd be it was a woman who was... The commercial was her throwing off all of these accoutrements of a marriage or something, like a, you know, earrings and stuff, and throwing it in a bush. And all she kept was the key to her Volkswagen Golf, and then drove off.
That's right. You've got to keep the Golf.
You've got to keep
the Golf. And the interesting thing about them is that, you as you probably know, because most people do, the Mark 1 GTI, which is the square one, which was the very first Golf GTI, they just went meteoric. They just went from zero to infinity and became highly valuable. Mm. And we, you know, we got involved with a few of those, but then we started buying the Mark IIs because we knew they would go in time, and that's, of course, exactly what's happened now. They've taken off as well. So, you know, and the Mark II is the more rounded one. It's, you know, with the bigger rear lights that almost meet in the middle at the back.
Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. Hey, is the gear stick got a little bit of dimples to reference a golf ball?
That certainly does. Well, the Mark One definitely had that. It had a golf ball gear knob that was exactly like a golf ball stuck on the top of the knob. Yeah,
nice touch.
Interestingly enough, I did my apprenticeship on those cars back in the UK. I did an apprenticeship at a VW Audi Porsche franchise, and that was when those Golf GDIs came out. I remember road testing them as a 17-year-old. I had so much fun. They were all other people's cars too. It was great.
It was, yeah, good, yeah. It was like a fast hatchback. You know the Peugeot 205?
Well, the same era. Yeah.
Is it? Right, okay.
Same time, yeah. Well, the Peugeot came out and then the Golf came out virtually within 6 months of each other.
Yeah, I like the Peugeot 205. That looked good. Is that gone up in value? Is that quite collectible?
Massively. Okay. Yeah, 205 GTI now in the UK for 1.61, you'll pay £40,000, which is 80,000 Australian. Man. And that's a lot of money for a little car, for a hot hatch.
Hey, do you know what? The other day I thought about you. The other day I was just walking down the street in Hobart and I saw it was a Peugeot. Do you know what? I tried to get what the brand of it was at the back. But you know those Peugeots that had those kind of yellowy headlights? They look like, almost look like somebody's house where someone smokes too much, and they've got that kind of yellowy look to the headlights. And they were kind of, they looked quite sharp. They were high at the wings, but then they sort of had a little bit of a cantilever as they went in. And looked good enough.
Yeah, I think you're talking about a 504, actually.
I think it might be.
The classic Peugeot.
Let me Google it
Peugeot
while you're talking. Hang on. 504. Yeah. Okay. Right. You keep talking because I'm going to lean over and I won't be near the microphone, much to the relief of the audience, okay?
I wouldn't say that. No, the 504 was the one that was one of the first Peugeots brought to it. Well, the 404 came out before that in Australia, but the 504 was kind of what made Peugeot have a real presence here in Australia.
Oh, you're so right. You are.
Well, are I?
That's a great car.
Yeah, you'd almost think that I knew what you were looking at.
if I could buy two cars, I'd buy one of those, and I'd buy a Citroen DS.
Yeah, well, the DS is they're an amazing car actually when you think about it, because of the revolutionary shape and the suspension system that they had. And
didn't the headlights move with the steering wheel? Did the headlights move with the steering wheel?
They did on the DS. So it depends which one you're thinking of. The CX was the sort of long, long sedan-looking car, whereas the DS Palace was the one with that looked pretty futuristic, and that had the headlights that turned with the steering. And also had very little rear lights right at the back. It sloped right down at the back, the DS Palace.
Well, it's beautiful. I think it was Roland Barthes, a French philosopher. He wrote a eulogy to the Citroën DS because he just thought it was a beautiful car. He described it as an automobile equivalent of a cathedral in its beauty.
Well, it pretty well is, and it's a testament to France as well. And a lot, because everything on it is just so French. And it really, it's a representation of France in terms of the beauty of it, the shape of it, the sleekness of it, and some of the very quirky things that are on it, you know?
Well, I've rolled up a newspaper and I've shouted out the window because we're on digital, so it's mainly people who are just passing the studio that can hear us. James has heard us, and he said that he saw a Datsun Sunbeam in Sandy Bay. Beautiful condition. How much are they worth? And now Datsuns can be worth quite a bit, can't they?
Datsun Sunbeam?
No, I think it might be a Talbot. No, there's a Talbot Sunbeam.
Yeah, that's right, a Talbot Sunbeam, absolutely.
Because I remember the advert, put a Talbot Sunbeam in your life.
Absolutely. Well, the Talbot Sunbeams are worth big money because they've got the lines down the side and the different wheels and whatnot, and they're a 1.6.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, I've got it. I've Googled it. There's even the rally car.
They're a lovely thing. Have you got a black one up? Because they look great in black.
You love the black one, don't you? Yeah, it's got a grey silk.
Grey line down the side.
Yeah.
That's it, like a grey side panel. Well, they're great. And they're worth, well, in the UK, they're worth about £30,000 to £32,000. So it makes them about $60,000 now for a Talbot Sunbeam. They're
or Chrysler.
A pretty, very,
it says
very
here
rare
Chrysler,
car now.
But Chrysler or Talbot, they're probably the same thing, actually.
Yeah, same thing.
It says
Chrysler, yeah.
No, it says here Talbot Sunbeam Lotus.
Well, no, that's the sexy one, the Lotus Sunbeam. That's the one that they turned into rally cars. What you've got is you've got the Talbot Sunbeam, which is 1.6, and then you've got the Lotus Sunbeam, which had the Lotus engine in it. And they're you know, that's the Lotus Esprit engine, and they're a rocket ship. Awesome things.
Great stuff.
And they're really rare. They're really rare.
No, they look great. Talking to Mark Haybittle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets, if you'd like us to give an assessment of your car that you think could be hinting at becoming a classic car, then 0438 922 936 is the text line. Tell us the make, the model and the colour and any of the details that you think pertinent. And
probably the year, Andy. Probably the year.
Yeah, the year as well. Tell us that. Last week we were getting all dewy-eyed and nostalgic about TV shows and how
we were.
Cars referenced in TV shows can skyrocket and when they become classics as the TV show becomes a nostalgic show, such as this one. This just makes me think of Sunday evening when I was a kid watching this.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, it's so long since I've heard that. So long.
It's a great theme tune, though, isn't it? Really.
Oh,
good.
It's brilliant. Brilliant. And you can just picture Bodie and Doyle and the Capri and the Escort and all of that straight away from that track, can't you?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then my mum would say, I'd be watching it, and my mum would say, once this is finished, off to bed, all right? Once it's finished, you know, you used to school in the morning, but I used to love the professionals. Now, that was the Capri. What mark? That was a Mark III Capri, wasn't it?
Mark III Capri. It was the one with the where the bonnet comes down over the headlights at the front. Mark III, three-litre gear, it was.
Oh, that'd be nice. Oh, we've got Glenn. Glenn, who's in from Adventure Bay. We might try and call him. Bella, who's producing, see if we can call him and get him on because he's got a Toyota that he'd like to talk to us about. He thinks that it could be a classic.
Brilliant.
So we'll get Glenn on in a minute. Also, TV shows, while we're talking about themes for TV shows, so the Capri is a classic. I'd love to know if anybody's got a Mark III Capri. the driving around Tasmania in, because we'd love to hear about that.
Absolutely.
In good condition as well. This one, we spoke about this last week as well. I'm with Mark Haybittle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets. What's this one? You know this one, don't you, Mark?
Not the Minder.
The Minder.
Yeah.
With Terry and Arthur.
Terry and Arthur, indeed. Actually, one we didn't cover last week was the Sweeney. Remember the Sweeney?
Oh, yeah, with, what's his name, Thor, John
Dennis
Thor.
Dennis Waterman and John Thor.
Yeah. I didn't like the Sweeney. I think you either like Minder or the Sweeney. I was more Minder.
Yeah, I was a bit the other way around. I loved the Sweeney because it was really in your face. Like, it was full on. It was one of those first real TV cop series that was just in your face. Full
right
ball,
in your
you know?
Face, yeah. Oi.
It was.
Back it in. When police were police.
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah.
Was it Joe Cocker who sung this as well?
I think so, yeah.
I think it is. And then at the this is really nostalgic, we're just getting dewy-eyed about this, but I think at the end of the programme, they're walking down a pier. Do you remember? At the end of Minder.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Bow. Yeah, we're just trying to get Glenn to come on the phone and give us a chat. I think we have got Glenn, just with a little bit of gentle persuasion. Hang on, I'm going to press a couple of buttons. I didn't realise that. Oh, there's some heavy lifting to be done, Mark. Hang on. Press that button, and Glenn should have materialised. Good evening, Glenn.
Hey, Andy, how are you?
Oh, good to talk to you, and thanks for hearing me. I rolled up a newspaper and shouted out the window, and you must have heard, is it Adventure Bay? Wow.
Yeah, it echoed
all the way down. Good on you. All right, well, you're through to Mark. You got a question about classic cars.
Hi, yeah, well, how are you, Mark? Yeah, I've always loved the old Toyota Crowns, I believe they've got a bit of historical significance in the Japanese car range, and I just wondered, you know, how available the older models are and how far back they actually go, and how much they cost, of course.
Yeah, well, they go right in this country. They go right back to 1967, to the very first Crown. But not too many of those were brought in. The one that became really popular was the MX series, which was the one that started in 1972, the more roundy shaped one with the four headlights. You might remember.
Yep. I do.
And they
yep.
had a bit of an American style about them, and they really did sell very well in this country, and there was a lot of them brought in. Funnily enough, back in those days, most of them were manual. And the auto was a sort of rarer, more expensive option, whereas quite often it's the other way around with later cars and later classic cars. But those Crowns, and particularly the 2600 Crown Custom, have gone on to be worth quite some money now. And you may recall that back in the day at the time, the favourite colour was sort of a poo brown colour. And they were mostly that colour. They were like, in Range Rover terms, you call it Bahama Gold, but it's really sort of a beigey brown colour. But there was loads of them around, and we used to, you know, I was in Perth at the time, and you used to see them everywhere, and everyone had them, and they were quite economical for a 2.6 litre six cylinder. But they're a really good car to get into now, and they're rising all the time because they're so rare. So if you were considering buying one, have a look out for a 2600 Crown Custom.
Hey, yeah. Glenn, I'm looking at one now. I'm looking at a Toyota Crown 2.8 Royal Saloon.
That was only available in Japan.
That's a ridiculous looking car. It looks like a souped up Cortina Mark III.
Yeah. Well, they've got. If you look inside, if it's got pictures of the inside, you'll see all the velour buttoned upholstery that they have, and they were really quite over the top, the 280s.
Yeah, it looks quite kitsch. Yeah, it's a nice kitsch vehicle. Do you have a fondness of them from childhood, or is it just something?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I just remember seeing them. I mean, I was born in the 60s, so I can remember seeing them getting around, and they were always a stylish car in the day, and now they just look like a retro classic, and I just wondered what they were worth, and as an investment opportunity.
Value-wise, I mean, they're worth up to 20K now. And in some cases, I think one of our collectors sold one recently for 24 for quite a low mileage one. So if you could grab yourself one for sort of 8 or 9 or 10, you'd be doing pretty well, to be fair. And that's quite a lot of money to pay for a crown when you think that, you know, a couple of years ago they were sort of $1,000 worth, but that's the way the market's moving. And so if you bought one for 9 or 10 now, you'd have a car that's worth 20, basically.
Yeah, hey, nice to know.
Glenn, what do you drive at the minute, can we ask?
I drive a work ute.
A work ute, okay.
A Ford Ranger ute, work ute.
All right.
Nothing but glamorous.
Are you seriously thinking of buying into a car that could accrue in value because it's got that classic cachet?
Absolutely, and just something fun to have to, you know, put in the shed.
Yeah, it's fun to have, to put in the shed. That's what we do out here in Australia. let's buy something fun and put it in the shed. It's a great idea. Good luck, Glenn. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for giving us a call.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn.
That was Glenn from Mark. Adventure Bay in on Bruny Island talking to... Oh, no, I just got rid of the wrong person, Bella. Oh, Bella, who's producing? Got rid of Mark Haybittle for some reason. We'll try and get him back. But in the meantime, let's have a little bit of a palate cleanser. We're all about luggage. We're all about suitcases. We're all about bags. It is, of course, the baggage special. So it would be remiss of us not to play this Teenage Dirt Bag. There you go. There it is, the 2022 remix of Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus, and back by popular demand, we've got Mark Haybittle. Hey, apologies, Mark, I pressed the wrong button.
No, it happens.
Good job we're not flying a plane, though.
Indeed. Should be all over by now.
Managing Director, Supercar Secrets. We spoke to Glenn earlier about the Toyota Crowns, Japanese
built. They were great cars. They really were.
Jezza gets in touch in Newtown. Good evening, Jezza. Says, how can you confuse Joe Cocker and Dennis Waterman? Says that Dennis Waterman sang the theme for Minder. I could be so good for you. But I'm pretty sure that Joe Cocker did a version of it as well.
I think you might be right. Yeah.
Jezza, not that I want to fall out. Well, let's fall out because we've got plenty of time. Give us a call and we can bicker on the radio. It's very popular, bickering. Now, we're going to talk about this one. Another one of the, what do you call them? The 25 great cars that have risen by more than 10% over the past 3 months. We talked about the Triumph Dolomite Sprint, the Volkswagen Golf GTI Mark II. Now, up 12% in the last 3 months, the Volvo 244.
Yes, they've been rising all year, they have. I'm not exactly sure why, but, you know, if you want a piece of specialist Scandinavian steel, well, there's a great car for you. Like, I mean, the thing about the 244s is that literally they're a classic in the sense that everybody and everybody and everybody had completely forgotten about Volvo 244s. And then suddenly a few got wheeled out earlier this year. The interest was there and up they've gone. And they've actually been rising all year.
The strange thing is I was walking down a street in South Hobart last week and I suddenly stopped in my tracks because I looked round and I kid you not, almost every house on this street had a Volvo 244 in the drive. It was strange. It was like I was in some kind of science fiction movie, some horror movie.
That would be like a Back to the Future moment with Volvos, wouldn't it?
There were loads. I'm not joking. I stopped and I made a note of it. I thought, that's unusual that there are so many of them. In mustard and duck egg blue, those kind of colours. But, there was about...
Well, that was the colours they came in. I mean, that was the era that they were around in, you know, with all those pastel colours. And I suppose that's part of their popularity and also the fact that they're just so Scandinavian, you know, they're just, that's their real hallmark. I mean, they're not a fast car, but they're quite a smooth car. And you know, certainly now because of the old scarcity rule, which is what drives everything in the classic car world, you know, there's very few of them left. So if you've got one, it's a standout car.
But if you hit something in one, it's about 3 days before the ripple effect gets through to the driver. Because
it takes a while, yeah.
It is a substantial lump of car.
Yes, there's a lot of it, yes.
The Volvo 244. A Volvo, now you look at Volvos now, they're right at the forefront of electric car technology. They've got some really beautiful SUVs coming out. But
yeah, they are. They seem to have taken that and run with it because, again, that's what's happening in Norway and Sweden at the moment. That's they're all going electric. So, you know, whilst they're producing them for themselves, I guess they might as well produce them for somebody else, you know.
Not something that you feel that you should be worrying about, the transition through to electric?
Not at all. I mean, if anything, it's just going to boost the values of all our cars by 10 times because, you know, as the electrification rolls out, and it will only roll out in a limited way given their range issues that they have, it'll only roll out, you know, around main cities and things like that. But it'll accentuate the values of our cars because they look so different. You know, they're so unique, and whereas these electric cars all look the same, really, all very similar.
And what about people who've got classic cars, like, say, you've got a Volvo 244, which I think 80% of the people living in South Hobart have. and South Hobartians are quite, they're quite sensitive around the environment, so they may want to keep that beloved Volvo, but can they then convert it to be electric and it still holds a cachet as a classic car?
Yeah, not really. It becomes something else. It becomes... it becomes an electric classic, which is sort of a new thing that some people have started to gravitate to. But probably more importantly, there's a new fuel on the way which can be put in the fuel tank, which is 100% fossil free and also completely emissions free.
Wow.
That we've evolved. So we've done that to save these engines. So fear not, the internal combustion engine will live on.
Okay, there we go. Just one more then, Mark, while we're talking. Mark Hay Bittle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets. If you do want to get in touch and get Mark to quickly run a jeweller's eye over your car that you think could be a classic, text through the details to us, 0438 922 936 is the text. Or if you give us a ring, we'll plonk you straight on the air. 1-300-222-936 is the phone number to chat to Mark. Just one more from the sort of more lowly cars that are actually starting to breathe the rarefied air of a classic. Up 25% in the last 3 months, the DeLorean DMC-12.
Yeah, well, they've deserved to be at a lot higher value than what they actually are even now. So they've just, you know, as you know, they're so rare. They're the Back to the Future car, and there's a huge history, piece of history attached to them with the guy that, you know, set up the company of DeLorean in Ireland and then got accused of doing certain other things to fund it, which may or may not be true, you know. They're an absolute classic of a car, and, you know, they all the suspension and chassis was designed by Lotus, so as you can imagine, they handle unbelievably well. They're a car that will just carry on booming and booming and booming. It'll just keep going up and up in value. And one of the reasons that they've come onto the radar at the moment is because there's a lot more parts available for them now, and you can actually buy complete cars new if you want to from that are DeLorean reproductions, basically.
Well, here is Christopher Lloyd's enjoying the DeLorean in Back to the Future.
Hell knows, I got my luggage. Who knows if they've got cotton underwear in the future? Oh, I'm allergic to all synthetics.
The future? So where are you going?
That's right. 25 years into the future. I've always dreamed of seeing the future, looking beyond my ears, seeing the progress of mankind.
It took me a while to find a reference to luggage because it is our baggage special on the evenings. to get Christopher Lloyd mentioning that.
Yeah, it would have been tricky.
Oh, yeah. It's time well spent, though. So the DeLorean DMC-12, it's a beautiful car. There's some modern interpretations of it that I'm looking at as well.
There are. There's been a lot of people that have tried to reproduce it in different ways. I mean, bearing in mind that the entire body was manufactured out of stainless steel from new back in the day, you know?
Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of a Scirocco. Do you remember Scirocco?
Yeah, it's similar to a Scirocco in shape. Mm. The engine's in a different place, but the shape is similar to a Scirocco. Yeah, they're a great car, the Sciroccos.
Yeah, well, I should be working with you. What am I doing messing around here?
Indeed, many people do. We have people joining us all the time for that very reason. Because
is it like classic car spies? Like we just
well, in a sense, yeah, because it's quite often over lunch we'll sit around and try and name cars that we think that no one else in the room knows, and that can work sometimes, but not all the time. Sometimes there's people that know as much as we do.
How would I have fared if I'd mentioned a Scirocco? Would that have been okay, or not?
Sorry, what was that?
If I'd mentioned a Scirocco, if you were sort of feeling me out as a potential colleague, workmate, and I'd said Scirocco, would that have impressed you? No.
I would have done, yeah, definitely. I mean, as you can imagine, because I did my apprenticeship on those cars, I actually went there another car that I worked on alongside the Golf GTIs when I was a 17-year-old, you know? They were a great car. And actually, there was a hot version of those that came out called the Scirocco Storm. And the Storm... yeah, well, no, it was. And they only came in silver and white, and they had the... Golf GTI running gear. So I had the Golf GTI engine and gearbox and all leather upholstery. So they were pretty hot because, as you know the shape of a Scirocco. So they're quite sexy. I mean, they're certainly a lot more sexy than a Golf, but they had all the Golf running gear. So they were called the Scirocco Storm. They were literally the most expensive Scirocco you could buy that was a top dog.
Yeah, I'm just having a look at one now, the Scirocco Storm. That
yeah,
nice bit of car. Again.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you could find one of those now, ever again, you'd be doing well, because with all the cars that we've dealt with all the collectors that we deal with around the world, I've never, ever spoken to anyone about a Scirocco Storm, ever.
Well, I'll keep my eyes peeled. It looks a bit like a Lancia. Do you remember Lancia?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the 037 and the Deltas. Yeah, it's got that look about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, look, before we go, you remember last week we were getting nostalgic about TV shows and the cars. Here's another one. Do you remember this one? There is some bad language in this, just to be aware.
Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
My son's got a mouth organ. I might try and recreate the Rockford Files with that when I get home this evening. You remember the Rockford Files, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It was around the same time as the Magnum PI and all those other American ones, wasn't it?
Oh, you mentioned it now. But what about the Trans Am? Because that was the one that James Garner drove, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, the Trans Am. That's right. And it was pretty good in that series. The Rockford Files was one of the few American things that was a good quality in it, really, at that time.
It piqued your interest.
Yeah. It did.
Hey, look, nice to talk to you again. We'll keep our eyes peeled. It's almost a bit like the Bourne Supremacy or the Bourne series. You can say, you know, have we got an operative in South Hobart who can run an eye over several Volvo 244s. Is it the 244?
Oh, that's right. If you go out looking for the 244s down there, I'll look out for a Scirocco Storm in the Northern Hemisphere. How about that?
Beautiful. And together we will own the world.
Indeed.
Hey, Mark, thank you very much for talking to us. Always good to chat with you. That's Mark Haybittle, Supercar Secrets. What's been a highlight for you then so far this week in your business? What's been a moment that you've had this week?
I think really just the complete crash of everything tech and cryptocurrency and everything else, really. Everything else other than cars and everyone telling us about that and coming to see us. I think that's been the big moment because I wasn't completely aware of it all, really, and I became aware of it as Monday turned to Tuesday, as everything was sort of crashing around us, you know.
And has the phone been ringing off the hook?
It has.
A little
it
bit
has.
Like this. This is Mark's phone at the minute, constantly ringing. Not with people being rude on the phone, but people saying,
"No, they're all keen to meet."
Yeah. I need a Volkswagen Scirocco Storm, and I need it yesterday. All right. Hey, Mark, nice to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of the week, and you'll be no doubt on evenings next week with more tittle-tattle, yeah?
Indeed. You have a fantastic weekend as well, Andy.
You too. That's Mark Haybittle, Managing Director of Supercar Secrets.